Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, what a breathless, awesome Super Sunday that was, wasn't it? From the sublime to the ridiculous. The sublime North London Derby, which of course we're going to talk about and touch on a bit later on, to the ridiculous 8-0 at Sheffield United. I mean, can Hickenbottom recover from that? Is that him done and dusted now, do you think? That's hard to come back from, that, isn't it?
It is hard to come back from. But is there anyone better at the moment out there that they could get?
Well, like, possibly not. But 8-0, bottom of the league, goal difference of minus 12, 1 point. Ain't looking good, is it? That ain't looking good.
Sometimes.
And it's actually not looking good for all three of the clubs that came up. Not like last season, where all three stayed up eventually. Right now, we're looking at the bottom three this season and going, well, there's a pretty good chance it's going to be the three that come up, because Luton, despite getting a point with a very dubious-looking penalty, well done, Carlton Morris owners. If you've got Carlton Morris, well done. But that was a dubious penalty, let's say, of which there was a few sort of dubious decisions this weekend. And again, not going to turn it into another VAR-bashing live stream, because we could easily do that every week. But yeah, pretty super Sunday. Enjoyable game. Did you enjoy the North London derby?
No.
You didn't?
I was so stressed.
It was a stressful game.
As those of you that were with me on Instagram will testify to, I pretty much decided that the only way to cope was to just be on my stories for most of it. Because it was a good distraction. Honestly, I found it really stressful. I said during one of them, I wished I was a neutral, because from a neutral perspective, it was a great game. But my heart was in my mouth,
I have to say. So I went to the game today. I got tickets through work. Never been to a North London derby before. Oh my God. It was proper.
They're intense.
It was intense. And as a fairly neutral, obviously I was hoping for the Spurs win, but I was sitting in the Arsenal end, so I had to sort of clap whenever they did anything good. But as a fairly neutral, it was a thoroughly entertaining game. Really, really good game. And lots to dissect from an FPL perspective. So we're going to come to that as well. We're going to talk about how our teams got on. And for those of you that are our Patreon supporters, you'll know on Friday that I dropped in the Ohana podcast that I played my wild card this week. So I wild carded this week. To say it was a roller coaster of emotions over these 2 days at the weekend is an understatement. It went from the ridiculous to not bad to I've now got a 12-point defender on my bench. Absolutely crazy. But lots and lots going on. And you had two free transfers coming into this week as well. And your season was going pretty good. A couple of iffy sort of weeks. But spoiler alert, pretty good week for both of us, but you in particular, very, very good. So we'll come to that a bit later on. Let's get into the live chat, Sam, and say hello to a few people. Stephen Harker is in. How are we doing, Stephen? Very nice to see you. We've got Richard Lohman. 8 goals, save my game week. Yeah, there's going to be plenty of Trippier owners out there with his 3 assists. There's going to be some Botman owners, potentially some new Botman owners this week. There might even be some Dan Burns out there. Who knows? And there might even be some Isaacs as well still knocking around. So that 8-goal haul for Newcastle, definitely going to be saving some game weeks, no doubt about it. Jai Mehta is in. Hey, Jai. North London derby, entertaining for sure. But what about Newcastle Sheffield United? Went absolutely bonkers. It did go bonkers. It felt to me a little bit like Sheffield United gave up a little bit. And that's why I'm a bit worried about the manager's future, because you can't just give up in the Premier League like they did. I think they just didn't. I thought the mentality wasn't there. Really not. Super chat from Nigel the Crab. Thank you. Not a super chat, but a highlighted chat, because Nigel, of course, is one of our members here on the FPL Family channel. So, hi, Nigel. Cyberdebt, aka Cyberdebt. How are we doing, mate? Hi, Bonfields. Long time no see. Missed you. We missed you too, mate. We had a really nice break, didn't we, last week? Lovely little breakaway in France. But it was, it's a shame not to see you guys, but we are back.
Well, I don't know. Game week 5 was so bad. It was probably a good job we weren't here.
True. Yes, true. We did miss you, Cyberdebt. But I tell you what, last game it was so bad for me and you. Game week 5 was so bad, it was like, forget it. I don't even want to talk about it. So
yeah,
I'm kind of glad. I'm kind of glad that we didn't do that. I've just realised that in the YouTube thing, I've put what now in game week 6, whereas I actually need to go what now in game week 7, because we are rapidly getting through these game weeks, aren't we? There we go, updated the YouTube title. We've got FPL Scoped, Trippman and Botman owner here. So there we go, FPL Scoped having a decent game week, all in all, with those two, no doubt about it. Webby is here as usual. Webby, nice to see you. Webby, evening all. Trips cheat code is back. Yeah, we do need to talk about Kieran Trippier. 3 assists and a clean sheet this week. I don't know how many points that totals, but a
18.
Bloody lot, basically. A lot, yeah. 67 on the underlying BPS. So 3 bonus points as well. 18-pointer if you went for Trippier. I have to say, I didn't go for him on my wild card. I'll explain why I didn't later, but I feel like I've missed an opportunity there. Definitely missed an opportunity. Although, had I gone with him, I might not have been able to have Mo or a few others. So, anyway, we'll talk about that a bit later on. Torben Nielsen, how we doing? Nice to see you. Tommy Beans, we've got Brian Springer. Welcome back, FPL fan. Just sold Chilwell for Botman. Now, Brian, did you just sell him, like, just now? Or did you sell Chilwell for Botman before game week six? Hopefully before game week six, Brian. Hopefully before game week six. Although I will say that transfer for game week seven coming up is going to be incredibly popular. That is going to be very popular.
Remember, we have got midweek football though this week.
We have. And I haven't seen the price prediction drops and falls, but I'm going to go out there on a limb and say I'm pretty confident.
I was just looking at them.
I'm pretty confident Chilwell's going to take at least a drop, and I'm pretty confident Botman's going to take a rise. So I don't mind Brian's going early on that one, I have to say. There, you're right, there is midweek football. League Cup? Is it League Cup? Yeah, League Cup in midweek.
Not for Spurs, of course.
True.
You want to go early,
yes,
on Spurs,
true.
Knock yourselves out.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. But yeah, but going early on Botman or any of the other Trippiers or Newcastle players, and they will be popular now, not just after today's result, but the fixtures going forward look so good. I can see why people like Brian would go early on Botman, but just be careful, guys. We have got League Cup in the week. Daniel Banks is here. Nice to see you. We've got Linfard, McConney, John Tyner, Haley and Sam. Got Wilson third on my bench. Ugh, but I've got Trippier's 18, so very happy on 60 points, which I think is not a bad week this week, John. That is not a bad week.
Wilson, what's my pod differential this week?
Yes.
Six and six.
Coming in again with the pod differential. Absolutely love that. Absolutely love
six
that.
Six and six now.
Let's get on to then, Sam, before we talk about our teams and we get into how we got on, how my wild card went, all that sort of stuff. Let's go through some of these games then. So the results page, here we go. So where do you want to start for this week? I will let you choose where do you want to start. Do you want to dive in to the North London Derby and just go straight there? Or do we build to that? What do you want to do?
No, let's start with Manchester United.
Oh, okay.
Last night. Because... So I kept, reluctantly, I kept Onana and Bruno this week.
Yes.
Because of the fixture. Because I was like, look, it's Burnley. They've been pretty poor. If there's going to be a clean sheet potential for Onana...
Surely it's it.
It's surely this week. Yeah. And if he doesn't get one this week, then's the opportunity to go, right, I'm done.
Yeah.
We're getting divorced. The end is nigh. And it was a similar conversation with Bruno. So I said, for those of you that are our patrons and listen to our Ohana, for those of you that listened to the official pod this week, I said on that, one of the transfers I was looking at doing this week was potentially moving Bruno Fernandes to Salah, and I could afford to do that. But there was just something niggling in the back of my head that was like, don't sell Bruno this week.
It's Burnley. Yeah.
Just use one transfer this week. I mean, spoiler alert, I panicked and used my second transfer, but not on Bruno. And I don't know, it just felt like it was an opportunity to just wait and see what happened. Now, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because they were better. That Manchester United were definitely better.
Did you think?
But they weren't great. They were better than they were the previous couple of weeks.
I thought they were really unconvincing, I have to say. But I thought it was more to do with the opposition than the fact that United were better.
I agree. So I thought they were better. I thought they were better in this one. I thought Bruno looked better. I thought Rashford was really unconvincing again. And then when had a car crash, didn't he, on the way away from
the
stadium.
Yeah, did you see that in the news?
Apparently not injured.
Yeah. He's okay, but still, we wish him well, because that's not a nice
that's
thing.
Not great.
Happen.
No, not at all. But I'm not convinced by him at all. And
what
if
did
I
you
had
make
him,
of what do you make of Hoyland's performance? Because I have to say, of that front three, I thought he was the best by a mile.
Well, yeah, but he doesn't look... He looks like he just needs time to settle. He's not the sort of player I'd invest in right now. I don't think that any of those United assets are firing at their full potential. And, you know, defensively, look, I mean, the thing I would say about them is that probably arguably their best player in that game was Johnny Evans. So if you're going to say that Johnny Evans was the best player in the United team on the occasion, then...
I don't think that's true. Bruno was the best player on the park because his quality just shone through, I thought. I agree with you on Rashford. I thought he was a little bit off. And I nearly went for Rashford rather than Madison on the wild card. And I'm glad I didn't. Well, yeah, I mean, I was just looking at the next two and thinking, well, Rashford's got Burnley, and then we'll look at the United fixtures in a minute because they do still have some really nice fixtures. Whereas, you know, Madison's got the North London Derby and then Liverpool. So literally we're just going to play the fixtures and then probably come back for Madison in game week. What would that be like? Eight. But in the end, I thought, well, I don't want to book in the transfer. I'm going to get behind the sofa when Man United play. And listen, Bruno was the best player on the park by a mile. The goal was unbelievably good.
It was a brilliant goal.
And I thought, I saw a lot in Højlund that I really liked. Like, the kid worked his socks off. And actually, that benefited Bruno and it benefited Rashford on the other side. I just didn't think that Rashford really got into the game. And you're right, the body language wasn't quite there. But for my view was that Bruno was the best player on the pitch. He was the one that was showing a little bit of leadership, a little bit rolling his sleeves up. But there wasn't a lot going on in the rest. And that's why I say United were a bit unconvincing. If you look at the fixtures going forward, though, they do look all right for Manchester United. So United have got Crystal Palace at home next week. It's Brentford in game week 8, then Sheffield United in 9. It's the Manchester Derby in 10, but then Fulham and Luton around it. So, you know, you've got Onana, you've got Bruno. I'm currently sitting with no Manchester United. What are you planning to do with both of them?
I'll probably hold them both for next week against Palace.
Yeah.
And then, because the players that I would look to go to are from Liverpool, and I don't really want to invest in the Liverpool goalkeeper or against Spurs, because I don't think you'll clean sheet against us at our stadium next week. I don't see that. So I don't want to do that just yet. And then in terms of Bruno, again, the player I probably look to move to would be Salah. So do I want to add another player from that game in? I'm not 100% sure. So I'll probably play the fixture again, keep Bruno for next week, and then probably look to do that swap for game week 8, I think, is probably how I'll play it.
It's weird with United assets, isn't it? Because a couple of weeks ago, we were like, well, it's definitely Bruno and you don't have Rashford. And then last week, it's like, well, you have Rashford and not Bruno.
No,
and now this week,
I'm...
you're going, well, it's Bruno and not
so
Rashford. It's like, it's hard, isn't it? It's a bit topsy-turvy.
At no point this season have I thought you should have Rashford.
Mm.
Underlying stats have all been Bruno the whole way. Mm.
I think you're in a bit of a minority there, because certainly there was a bit of a move to try and get him in this week with the move back to the left. Højlund coming back, the underlying stats look better since Højlund's coming back. There's plenty that were playing him in the wild card this week.
Weird.
So for sure, there was a
that
bit of a clamour for Rashford.
That's weird to me, because I haven't felt the love for him at all so far. Bruno is, if you're going to invest in United, you go Bruno. But I could also understand if on wild card, if I'd have wild carded, I probably would have gone without United.
Yeah, I think so. Super chat from Joseph Maloney. Thank you, Joseph, for the super chat. Hi, Sam and Lee. Great to see Darwin's calling again.
Yeah!
Everyone's favourite, Darwin. LFC going well now. We are. Talk about them in a minute. Congrats, Sam, on another pod differential pick. Every single week, the differential pick's coming in. We've also had a member chat from Kyle. Thank you, Kyle, for the member chat. This is all in capital letters, Sam. So when he starts with, hi, Lee and Sam, hope you're good, I'm still buzzing. We can tell, Carl, because it's called in capital letters. He's buzzing from the North London Derby. Madison and Ronaldo were brilliant. Son loves scoring against Arsenal. He certainly does. And it was a really good performance. We'll talk about it
in
a bit. Any words for Burnley before we move on from this game?
Well, part of the reason I suggested we started with this one, obviously, is because Burnley are one of the double game week teams for next week.
Mm.
Now, I think that there are two things to say. So there are a few managers that last week went for Foster up top because had the double game week, obviously got sent off, wasn't available to play. I did think that that changed the way that Burnley set up. They weren't quite as good. I mean, not that they've been really good anyway, but they looked a bit off it without him. I think that this is a double game week team that you absolutely avoid.
Yeah, let's have a just remind ourselves of the double game week. It's Newcastle away, which, goodness me, the way they're playing at the minute, you wouldn't want to be going to St James's Park. And then Luton away, which... It's
6-pointer.
That's a tough one to call, you know, because Burnley are not exactly playing well. I wouldn't back them to go to St James's Park and get anything. So you're kind of backing the Luton fixture, and then even after that, Chelsea at home, Brentford away. You're probably right. So I am with you. I'm not rushing to Burnley for next week. I'm not rushing now.
We'll talk about Luton a bit later, because I think in terms of double game week is, if you do want to go there, it's only really the Luton boys that you go to.
Mm.
And that's only because of the two fixtures next week, and you'd want to move them straight on again afterwards.
All right, well, let's go there then. Let's have a quick chat, because we don't often do this, right? We don't often talk about Luton on these live streams. We often kind of float straight past it. But yeah, if we're not going into Burnley for the double game week in 7, then should we be going to Luton? And if we are,
Well,
who are we going to go for outside of Carlton Morris? Anybody?
I mean, I've got Kabore still in my team. Got the assist this week. Picked up 5 points, which was nice.
Yeah.
The fixtures next week...
Can we just say about this penalty, though?
What?
It's not a penalty, is it?
Well, it's about as much of a penalty as Saka's one today.
Yeah, well, we'll come to North London Derby, but Kabore getting an assist for that is just... It's savage. I mean, there's no way it's a penalty. It shouldn't be an assist. It's bonkers. The rules change every week. It comes off of a different part of his body and then hits his arm. So therefore, it's not a penalty. That is the rules.
I agree.
Apparently not this week, and apparently not in that game. It's nonsense. Absolute nonsense.
I don't understand penalties anymore. I don't understand what you have to do to get one. I don't understand what you have to do not to get one.
I feel like it's a complete lottery.
I just don't understand. So
crazy.
But as an aside from that, Kabore was actually quite attacking in this game.
Yeah.
He was
eye test wise, it was alright. Yeah,
he was in the right places. He was doing the right things. I don't think there's a clean sheet in it, but equally Burnley looks so...
devoid of anything.
Yeah, up top, they don't look a bit like they've got no finish. So
if you want to go for Carlton Morris, I don't mind it. Look, like we just said, you could get a penalty any given moment in the Premier League at the minute for anything. Like someone farts in the box, they get a penalty. It's ridiculous.
But also you've got players like, you know, there'll be a lot of managers out there that have got maybe a Cameron Archer and a little bit of money in the bank, or have got João Pedro, who's not starting regularly. And you can move across. Like, I've got Vissa, and I'm like, I said, I gave him another week because it was Everton. We'll talk about Brentford later. I don't know what's going on. But nonetheless, I'm looking at him now going, right, I've given you multiple weeks of nice fixtures and you've returned nothing. So rather than, I know you've got Forrest next, but equally, rather than keeping you for that, the move straight across to Morris feels a bit of a no-brainer when he's got two nice fixtures in a double game week, and I'm looking to wildcard a bit later on anyway, so I can just move him back out again.
You're not like booking in a transfer though, because are you going to really want Carlton Morris later on?
Who cares? Realistically, he's my third forward.
Yeah.
So he's just going to move to the bench after the double game week until our wildcard, and then I'll swap him out for another third forward of my choice.
Okay.
Like, to me, I don't think that... Look, I'm not overly massively inspired by Carlton Morris. I'm not sitting here going, I think he's the best thing to ever happen to us in FPL and we should all get him. But I'm also looking at the double game week fixtures and going, well, that's quite a nice double game week. It's 2 6-pointers for Luton. If they want to stand any chance of staying in the Premier League this season, you would say that they have to get something out of those games. So they've got to attack because they can't really defend that well. So they're going to be attacking, particularly in the home game against Burnley. So Carlton Morris feels like a little bit... Now, Kelly did say on the pod, it reminds her of Emmanuel Dennis when we all...
Oh, we all remember that a couple of seasons ago if you were playing.
Now, we didn't do him, did we, that week? We had Josh
Brown. The
other
Watford guy, Josh King.
Josh King.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's Josh Brown?
I don't know.
Josh King. We had Josh King. And so we kind of were a bit relieved just to see him get 2 and 2 or whatever he was he got that week. But... So there is that element.
I think he got 4. We were like, well happy well that happy. Our captain had got 4.
But that's the other thing, right? So if I go Vissa to Carlton Morris this week, I'd expect him to get 4. So any goals are an upside. So if he gets 4 and then gets a goal, well, okay, that's all right.
Sure.
So I don't know. I think he's a punt that if you've got no other transfer to make and you've got a third forward that you don't really love, I think it makes sense.
It's all right. Yeah, it's all right. And to be fair to him, I've done him a bit of a disservice there because he had one off the inside of the post first half, didn't he? Which was a cracking shot. So clearly no lack of confidence there. And like I say, you can get a penalty any moment. So yeah, don't mind it. I didn't go for him on wildcard just because my budget didn't stretch for him. I went for Archer in the end. But I just... There's just nothing about Luton that I like, right? I just think they're destined for relegation. They're lucky to get the point at the weekend. What are we saying about Wolves? Any comments on those? City up next, so I don't think you're investing, but I will say that the young man, Bellegarde, was a little bit just naive, I think, to kick out in the way that he did. It was just a bit silly. Sending off, but he was right to be sent off. Neto gets the goal, who has looked pretty like ex-lively recently, so... It's sort of on my radar. Obviously not with City up next, but you know.
I wrote about him in my scout squad picks this week. Yeah. I picked him in there because I thought he was a really nice cheap differential to have. He was one of my other options for differential of the week on the pod, so either one would have gone quite well. But yeah, I think if you want to invest in Wolves, then I don't think you do against Man City. But if you do after the game against Man City, then Neto is the only way that I would go.
Yeah, Cool. All right, let's move on from them. Let's talk about Manchester City 2, Nottingham Forest 0, the curse of the most transferred in strikes against, that being Julian Alvarez. No goals, no assists for Julian Alvarez, and pulled off a little bit early. So
yeah, but comes off early only because Rodri gets sent off.
Yes, I think so.
Rodri gets sent off, he pulls off Doku and he pulls off Alvarez to make it more solid. If he doesn't get sent off, Alvarez plays.
I think so.
The rest of the game.
And I have to say, if you did bring in Alvarez and you're a bit disappointed that he got nothing this week, hold that knee. I watched the highlights. The kid is unbelievably good. What a good player. And on Match of the Day, they compared him to Dennis Bergkamp. And I was like, hold on a minute. One of the greatest players to ever play in the Premier League. How can you be comparing him to Bergkamp? And they talked about the way he finds space in between the lines. They talked about the way that Haaland pushes on and the centre-backs are so scared of Haaland, they kind of go with him. And that leaves some space for Julian Alvarez. And he just gets in those pockets. And the way that he shapes his body to receive the ball is a lot like that, that video that went viral where Guardiola's teaching Sterling to sort of stand sort of side on and receive the ball so it, sort of mid-turn. He does that so naturally, Alvarez. Unlucky not to get a goal. He had a couple of set pieces, good saves from the goalkeeper. My view is, don't panic on Alvarez. I think he's becoming a really important player in that setup, and he and Haaland have got a really good understanding.
So I said on my Instagram stories that I was doing yesterday morning, I wasn't going for Alvarez. I said it on the pod.
Mm.
And then we got news that he was starting before the deadline, and I thought, and I panicked.
Yeah.
And then I panicked again. So I panicked him in for João Pedro. I was fine with that. That meant I had to bench Diaby.
Yeah.
And so the deadline went and I thought, what have I done? Like, benching Diaby is a terrible, terrible idea against this Chelsea side.
Yeah.
Because I genuinely thought that Aston Villa would win against Chelsea. And I looked at it and was like, I've made a horrible mistake here. I don't know what I should have done, but I don't know if I should have done this. Because my plan was to do it next week. My plan was to bring in Alvarez next week,
yeah,
to make two forward swaps next week. One of them being Carter Morris and one of them being Alvarez. And so basically I just bought it forward. So I wasn't too worried about having used the transfer because it was a transfer that I was sort of planning for anyway. But now I'm tripled up on the City attack.
Mm.
Now, this week that went okay because I have Foden as my other one who actually did really well this week.
They completely bossed it as well. Like, it was only Rodri getting sent off that obviously changed the game. So City sending off.
It got really nasty and unnecessary that game.
And it's not, listen, I don't know him, but it doesn't feel to me like that's in kind of Rodri's nature to do that. And Foden did the piece on Match of the Day about the fact that it's not really Rodri's nature to do it. But nevertheless, he just got a rush of blood to the head, rightly sent off. You can't put your hands around a guy's throat, so he's rightly sent off. And then City just kind of just played within themselves a little bit and just saw the game out. We actually saw a different side to City, I thought. A defensively more solid City, which was great to see. But that first half, oh my God, they absolutely battered Nottingham Forest. And XG underachievers so far this... no, actually, at the end of this game week, Julian Alvarez is in there. He's second for XG underachievers with a delta of 0.55. So... yeah, a bit unlucky, right? What does that tell you? That says to me he's getting in all the right positions. He didn't even play the full game, as you said a second ago, Sam, and still he's second for XG underachievers this this game week. So, no. Listen, I'll take the 1 point on the chin. It is what it is, but I'm happy to have him in my team, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, I'm a little bit frustrated with myself. I think it would have been worse if Diaby had done something today, I'd have been absolutely...
Yeah, well, sure.
I mean, and as it was, I lost 2 points on... playing Alvarez over Diaby, which was enough that I'm like, oh, I'm a bit annoyed with myself for doing that. However, I do think long term I do want Alvarez in my team. So have him in there now is good. I'm set up. I've got benching headaches every 5 minutes from now on, though, is the reality. But I'm pleased to still have him in there. And I don't think it's you know, he doesn't go off early because Pep's cross. He goes off early because they had to change the way that they were playing because they had to protect their lead when Rodri got sent off.
Yeah, let's talk about City's fixtures then, because actually when you look at the Fantasy Football Scout fixture ticker and sort it by difficulty according to what the experts at Scout are saying, they are second bottom right now. So Wolves away, all good. I think you'd be happy to go in with the treble that you've got.
Treble, yeah.
But then after that, Arsenal, Brighton, Man U, it does get a little bit trickier, but My view is that they're just fixture proof. I wouldn't worry too much about them.
Yeah, I mean, for next week, I'm going to keep all three. For the week after, I might consider selling Foden at that point because I think I'll be wanting to keep Alvarez and Haaland. But with our, given that we'll also have... I've obviously got the League Cup match in midweek against Newcastle. Then they've got the game against Wolves at the weekend. Then they go into the Champions League again. And then we're back into Premier League action where, as you've just mentioned, the fixtures get tougher. And they've got games that they will need to win if they want to win the league, which clearly they do.
Do you think they can go invincible?
No, because Spurs are going to win a cup this year.
Never mind the cup. I'm talking about league. Can they be league invincible?
Oh.
Or are you saying Spurs can win the league?
Postecoglou told us to dream.
Okay. Okay.
No. Do I think they can be invincible? No, I don't think they'll be invincible. No, because they can't come to Spurs and get anything. We've learnt that over the years, haven't we? And they never win up against us.
I think they got a chance.
Do you?
I do. I think they're so far ahead of everybody else. Like, you think, who are their key challengers? Like, Chelsea gone off a cliff. United are rubbish. You lot are playing very well, but you're in transition. Arsenal, obviously, there or thereabouts, right? We're good, but we can't defend. Newcastle, all right, but get the odd... Like, they are just beating teams so convincingly every week.
I think they'll win the league. I don't think they'll
but
be
not
invincible.
Somewhere, someone will beat them.
There'll be a slip up somewhere.
I don't know who beats them.
Well, it's normally at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. They can't win against us there, can they? I'm not saying it'll happen again this year, but it is a thing now. I think somewhere along the line, someone will beat them. And I think in this next run of fixtures that they have coming up...
Rodri against Arsenal?
No Rodri will be interesting.
Could be interesting.
And obviously they've got... It'll be interesting to see what Pep does actually with the League Cup in midweek. Because it's Newcastle, right? So it's not a given. It's not like he can go, oh, I just rest everybody for that. Like, if he wants to progress in the League Cup, then he will have to put out a semi-reasonable team. Now, of course, it's Pep. He's got, like, a ridiculous squad. So there's plenty of players that he can bring in and play in that game. But, nonetheless, they've got the Champions League the week after... The Wolves game does worry me. Having the triple up in attack worries me now because I do think at some point one of them will get a rest in that game because that's the only game realistic that you can get a rest in, I think.
You're just saying you've just got benching headaches, though, so you've got a squad to manage it. You're not worried about benching headaches,
are you? No, but equally, what's annoying about a Man City rotation is that they almost certainly come on. Yeah. So, you know, you think, oh, they don't start... But 9 times out of 10, he brings them on. Now, of course, it's a Man City asset, so they could score when they come on. But it's also a bit of a like, oh, great, okay.
All right, let's move on. Not going to say too much about Nottingham Forest other than the number of bookings that they picked up sort of tells you what sort of game they tried to make it into. You know,
it became that, didn't it?
Yeah, they were just there to wind them up and
Edison lost the plot
get involved and just put their... They wanted to turn it into a fight and City... Well, Rodri, at least, kind of sort of did a bit of that, didn't he? Let's go to the North London Derby. Then Arsenal 2, Spurs 2. A cracking game. A really, really good game. Saka and Son, definitely the standouts. Madison chipping in with 2 as well. We're going to get your view on it. I'm going to say one thing. And I'm going to say, because I was there and I watched him for the first time in a Spurs shirt play, Yves Bissouma is an unbelievably good player. He is an unbelievably good player. You had good performances all over the pitch today. I thought Van de Ven was very good. I thought Porro actually was good today as well. Bissouma is class. He is class. And he does everything that you want for a player in that position. And he protects the back four. And he's getting it about. He's putting himself about from minute 1 to minute 90. Absolutely brilliant performance. And I think he is, if not the key player. Obviously... Madders is getting the headlines. I came in and you were like, oh, Madison has got Sky Sports Man of the Match. I understand that. He's got the 2 assists. I get it. Son's got the goals. Of course they get the headlines. They don't do any of that without Yves Bissouma being there and doing what he's doing best. He is class. Absolute class. But your thoughts on the game? Because it was really good, right? Really, really good North London derby. Enjoyed it.
It was. I mean, as I said at the beginning, I was really stressed. As you'll see, if you go and watch my Instagram stories, you will literally see... the journey that I went on during that game. It was... And when Madison went down holding his knee, I thought I was going to cry. Because yeah. I was like, if we lose you now, all this momentum, all of this positivity, like it was in, like I could feel it in my throat. Like I was like, oh, I feel like I want to be sick. He was fine and it was all okay.
Matters is like, it's unbelievably good with the crowd as well. Like the bits you don't see on TV, right? Here's some bits you don't see on TV. Saka scores and he obviously goes up to the camera and he does the darts thing, right? Son gets his second goal and you don't see this on TV. And all the way from walking from the Spurs fans to back to his half, Madison, he makes sure that he walks past Saka. And as he's walking past Saka, he goes in his face like that. And then Saka's just standing there like... And of course, that's the sort of stuff you don't see in TV. And I'm just like, Madison, you absolute... S-House, that is brilliant, and I'm here for it.
They are actually really good friends, aren't they, Madison and Saka?
I'm sure they are, yeah.
And apparently, on international duty, Madison was talking about it after the game, that this was a thing on international duty. And as he's walking towards the bus at the end of the game, a guy shouts at him, are you and Saka going, are you and Saka having a darts match? And he said something about, oh yeah, but he's got terrible aim, or something he said about him. And it's like, so yeah, good. It's really good. Look, it was a great game. I think we started really slowly, but I think that was more to do with the way that Arsenal started. Arsenal started the game with real...
They were like, very good.
They had gusto. They were at home. They built on the crowd. The crowd were behind them. They started the game really well. We started the game much more slowly than I've seen us this season. A bit more tentative. But six North London derby debuts on the Spurs team today.
True enough.
Seven players aged under the age of 23. So it was a very, very young... inexperienced team in terms of derbies, and that was an atmosphere today. Like, you could feel it on the TV. The Arsenal crowd did a great job of making it into a cauldron. And I was watching it thinking, we just need to get into a groove. We need to find our rhythm. And the first goal for Spurs came against the run of play, but it put us, you could see Spurs kind of physically go, okay, right, and we'll get it. We started to get into a rhythm. By the end, actually, I thought we were on top towards the back end of the second half. Now, I never find myself agreeing with Gary Neville in commentary, but I can't understand how that's a penalty. I know it hits his hand, but he's literally kneeling down. And if you kneel down, your hand comes down. Like, it's just what... I haven't seen it yet.
I obviously haven't seen it on TV. And even though I was live in the stadium, it happened quite early in the second half, didn't it?
Yeah,
I was getting a beer, so I haven't seen it at all. But from what I've seen on Twitter and stuff, yeah, it does look as if it was a bit harsh.
It's harsh. Like, I can understand why it's given, because it does hit his hand. But it takes VAR a good 5 minutes of looking at it. And Gary Neville's like, it's clear as day, you're watching it. So if you're saying it's a handball, and therefore that is why it's a penalty, then just give it straight away. If you're having to watch it that many times to work out whether it should be or not, then it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But that's fine. But what I was most pleased about today, and from an FPL perspective, I think it's great for us, is that they scored, we scored. Like, we don't bounce back from games.
Yeah.
We don't.
You've got
but
a bit of character.
We do
nowadays.
Under Postecoglou. Yeah. We fight. And that is massively important from an FPL perspective. So that's two game weeks in a row now where we've gone behind and come back. Last week to win the game late on, and this week to get a draw. Now, a draw against Arsenal at the Emirates, that's not happened now for four visits.
Yeah.
It's the first time against Arteta that any Spurs manager has got anything out of it. Postecoglou managed it so well today. Now, Madison, I still think Madison is essential in FPL. I don't think you can not have him for his price point, for what he's doing in that team, for his route to points. I just think he's...
Everything was going for him today, yeah.
So right. Now, next week... it's the Liverpool game.
Yeah, it's FPL family derby time.
Now,
that'd be good.
It's always a good game.
Yeah.
It's always scoring. Like I said on the pod this week, and I said to you, this game is always high scoring. There's always goals in it. The game next week, there's always goals in it. So Madders, Son, those players, you're going to want to be investing in. Now, if you had a Udogie today, he wasn't able to play his game as he would have wanted to, because he was so busy dealing with Saka.
Correct.
He was so busy dealing with what was going on with Saka. And if you notice, Postecoglou had told Brennan Johnson, don't help, stay where you are.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't go back there and help. I want you there. And Brennan Johnson just did that. He just waited until Udogie did all the work.
Yeah.
Now, what that meant is that
Udogie didn't get as forward as he would normally. But you don't get that against every club. So just
you're not playing against an elite player like Saka.
No, and even and even when you come next week, he won't spend as much time dealing with one player. Saka was absolutely incredible today. But
do you not think that he'll spend a bit of time up against Mo next week?
I think he'll spend some time up against Mo, but I don't think it will be all the traffic down that side in the way that it was for Arsenal today.
All right.
I think Liverpool have got other players that could go down the other side, depending upon who's on the other side, Luis Diaz, Jota, Darwin. There are other assets. Whereas for Arsenal today, it was all about down Saka's side. So Udogie didn't catch a break, which is why Porro was good on the other side. Because Porro was able to go.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't having to deal with it so much. So if you've got Udogie, don't panic. He'll be back to more attacking football next week, I think is what I'm trying to say. I agree with you on Batuma, but just don't buy him in FPL.
Yeah, for sure. And the stats back you up on Destiny Udogie as well. Top for tackles in the game week by a clear couple of tackles as well. So Veltman and Nakamba in with 8 tackles each. Destiny Udogie in with 10 tackles. So he definitely got in amongst it against Saka, to the point where Saka was actually carrying a bit of a knock at the end of that game.
He was limping, wasn't he? Yeah.
He was, and I saw the tackle, the Udogie tackle that give him the knock to start with, and he wasn't happy, Saka, for about sort of 8 or 9 minutes, and then signalled over to the bench, look, I've got to come off. So just keep an eye on that. The fact that he played on, I think he's good, but sometimes when you have these players, they get a little knock. It looked like an ankle to me, I don't know, but it looked like an ankle from where I was sitting.
He was really limping at the end of the game.
But he's been able to walk it off. He's put weight on it. So I don't think it's going to be a big deal. But you never know. Sometimes with these knocks, players play on, they make it worse, right?
Yeah, and just a quick word on Declan Rice, because obviously he goes off.
Yeah.
He's sitting on the bench with his leg massively strapped up, his left calf. That's another one to watch, because I thought they were lacking when he went off as well. So obviously Declan Rice has been so good for Arsenal in terms of that midfield. I thought their game dropped a little bit when he wasn't there. So
Jorginho comes on and makes a massive error, doesn't he?
Well, he does. But actually, at the end, the Richarlison shot, Jorginho gets a toe to that and potentially keeps it out. So, you know, I don't think we should all berate Jorginho for his involvement. But the other thing I will say, I know he conceded 2 goals today, but David Raya. Some of the saves that David Raya pulled off, he had one from Brennan Johnson. I was up celebrating.
It was a top save.
Because I don't know how he got there for a start.
The whole stadium went, oh, top save.
It was top. Like, so he had a couple of really, really great saves today.
Well, I've got to address a quick super chat sound that we had from Matthew Knights. Thank you, Matthew, for the super chat. He's saying, Sam, Raya played again today. Can we now forget about Ramsdale? Is Raya locked?
Oh, what a question. It's really... You would think so.
I think yes.
But I think there's always an element of doubt with goalkeepers when you've got 2 good goalkeepers in your team. Now, because if you're Aaron Ramsdale, now also, what a great person Aaron Ramsdale is today, because they kept cutting to him on the bench. He was supporting Raya, like when he was watching the saves back, like he was great today. So from a personal perspective, great. But he's also got to be looking at next summer. And the fact that Pickford's been so bad so far this season, going, this is my opportunity to be the England number one for the Euros. And if I don't play for my club, I'm not
going
to be England's
totally
number one. I won't even go. So I think if you're Aaron Ramsdale, there's a real you're going to have a fight. He's going to put up a fight. What Arteta chooses to do, whether he ends up playing one of them in the European competition, play one in the Champions League, play one in the League Cup, I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Ramsdale playing the League Cup in midweek. But then if he plays really well in that game?
He just puts Raya back in. He's a fundamentally better goalkeeper than Ramsdale.
Oh, he is. He is a better goalkeeper, but I don't like it. I don't like the fact that there's 2 of them. From an FPL perspective, I just don't like it. Now, I think it's also fine potentially because you've got Areola and the fixture's quite nice for West Ham now. So, you know, you could go there. But I also think that if you're going to invest in the Arsenal defence, I'd still rather have a Saliba or a Gabriel instead.
Than a Raya.
I also don't love the fixtures for Arsenal in terms of clean sheets coming up.
Well, let's have a look at those fixtures, because that City game that we mentioned, all right, well, we said, well, Rodri's going to be suspended for that game. But here we are with Arteta's boys, without potentially Declan Rice, depending on his injury. maybe Saka's got knock is worse
Trossard
than we think.
Trossard
and Martinelli both out. And going back to hold on, I've just got to scroll in the right page. Going back to a comment that was made by Nigel. Thanks, Simon, for the super chat. My customary weekly super chat. Thank you, Simon, very much
Thank
for
you,
it. I had 2-2 in my prediction today, so fair play, mate. I hope you had 20 quid on that. Calling it out, without Saka, Arsenal look toothless in attack. Well, I don't know if I altogether agree with that. I think if you say, well, without Trossard, Martinelli and Saka, then yeah, of course that weakens them from an attacking perspective. And Gabriel Jesus goes off a little bit earlier than we thought, potentially. When the board went up at the stadium and it was Gabriel Jesus off for Reece Nelson, particularly as Nketiah had been booked, the whole stadium was just
Nketiah should have been sent off for that outrageous tackle. He just went in late on Vicario for no reason. Outrageous behaviour, Eddie Nketiah.
It wasn't great, but still, again, it's weird, isn't it? When you go to the games and you actually watch some of these players, like Jesus, he gives them so much. He gives them so much. He holds it up so well. He occupies defenders. He puts himself about. And I'm not saying I am kind of saying Nketiah and Reece Nelson just don't. They just don't do it as well. Like, he wants to be in behind. He wants to be through on goal one-on-one. And against Spurs, you're going to have very limited opportunity to do that because Spurs defend really well. So it was a Jesus game today. I thought he was really, really good.
Wait a minute, did you just say Spurs defend really well?
Yeah,
we've entered
a
parallel universe where Spurs suddenly have decent defence.
Listen, I was super impressed. I was super impressed.
Van der Ven is quality. He's absolutely quality. He and Romero together. And Romero today, I thought this was also interesting, not from FPL perspective necessarily, but obviously he scores the own goal and gives away the penalty. And he also got booked. But he didn't lose his head at any point.
No.
And normally Romero, one of those things would have happened. He'd have lost his head.
Yeah.
He'd have got involved in a fight. There'd have been a problem.
I don't disagree with you on those two. However, I'm so convinced that Bissouma is elite that I'd like to see them without Bissouma in the team.
You will when Bentancur's back.
Mm.
Because I don't know what he's going to do when Bentancur comes back.
Defensively, you do look really, really good. But I do wonder how much of that is Bissouma. He's so good. He's so, so good. But you did mention there the Arsenal fixtures going forward. So Bournemouth away next. So no one's selling your Arsenal players ahead of that. But then it's City, Chelsea. Nice looking game against Sheffield United, Newcastle.
But
it's a little bit
Champions
mixed,
League in there as well.
Yeah.
So because this is the other thing that you have, and you have to bear this in mind when you're looking at these other fixtures that they have, is that, you know, if Saka is, he came back off international duty apparently carrying a knock that he's been dealing with for a while, and Arteta said it's not an issue. Now he's limping around. I'm not saying it's a big deal. He's probably fine. He'd probably be fine for the midweek action. He'd probably
no
be fine
chance
for the
he
weekend.
Plays League Cup.
Well, no, he probably chance. Would be fine, but he probably doesn't play him in it because he doesn't need to.
Yeah.
So he'd probably be fine for the Bournemouth game, but he will want to be careful with him.
Yeah,
I think
it would not surprise me to see Saka bench for that Bournemouth game, and then maybe he comes on if they need him. It's just a sort of, you look at those other fixtures, go back to those fixtures, right? So we've got like the City game is huge, isn't it? Even Chelsea away, and I know we're going to talk about them next, right? But Arsenal at Stamford Bridge is just always a game, isn't it? It's just, you never know what you're going to get in that game. The sort of game Chelsea will just put all their woes behind them and they'll turn up and they'll just perform Chelsea. It's what they do against Arsenal. So with those games coming up and then the Champions League, it's like maybe that Bournemouth game is an opportunity to maybe give Saka a bit of a breather. I don't know.
Not if Martinelli and Trossard are injured.
Well, yeah, fair comment. Yeah, fair comment. Because, yeah, where does your threat come from? To size point, right?
It's not going to just play Nketiah and Reece Nelson. You're asking for trouble.
Possibly.
You can't. If you're Arsenal, having already dropped points this season against Fulham, you absolutely cannot drop points against Bournemouth if you want to be in a title race. So now we're in a place where if he's got no Martinelli... Now, Martinelli might be okay to play this one. But if he's got no Martinelli and he's got no Trossard, if Saka's available, he has to play him. He can't rest him.
Nice. All right, well, let's move on. A thoroughly enjoyable North London derby. Really enjoyed going to the game today. Sam, we've got so much to discuss here. So much to discuss. Chelsea 0, Aston Villa 1. We have to dive into this from both perspectives, actually. I take it back. Everything that I've been saying over the last few weeks about Poch getting sacked before Christmas, I take it back because it's now before Halloween. He is gone.
No.
He is gone. Dead in the water.
Honestly, cannot.
Absolutely dead in the water. They can't have performances like that. Nicholas Jackson, with his fifth booking of the season.
Six games.
I mean, what even is this guy? Did it? Was it for dissent again today, or did he actually genuinely get a book in?
I don't know. I didn't come watch the game because I was watching the Spurs game.
I didn't. I haven't seen it either.
I don't know. But whatever it's for, you know, you're on four yellows. Why are you? Whatever it's for, he's got 1 point every week.
Yeah.
What is happening?
Yeah.
I know that a lot of people went Jackson to Alvarez this week. I know that Alvarez actually, you know, didn't return either. But Chelsea,
they're all over the shop. Chilwell didn't get the start again. Comes on, gets booked, 0 points. Gusto on the other side gets sent off. Jackson gets his fifth book in and gets a suspension. So here's the reason he's gone before Halloween, right? Here's the reason.
The red card is a bit hot. To be fair to Gusto, the red card is a little bit harsh. It's the ref gives a yellow, VAR makes it red.
Yeah, but it's VAR.
It's the same tackle that goes off with Robinson in the Sheffield United game a couple of hours later. And Robinson sticks with his yellow card. So again, it's inconsistent. However, if you've now got... So if you've got Gusto and Chilwell, which some people do, or Gusto and Jackson, or Chilwell and Jackson, they're all sells. Because Gusto's now suspended. Jackson's now suspended. And Chilwell can't be trusted to start. And I said this multiple times last week. Chilwell, he wants to play Mudryk. He said that. He needs to play a more attacking player. So Mudryk is going to play. Colwell, he prefers in defence to Chilwell.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's going to play Colwell there, which means that Chilwell, he was the vice-captain, by the way, and the captain's not playing at the minute because he's not fit. So
where are the leaders on the pitch?
Well, Thiago Silva.
Oh, listen, you can't... Look, the guys... You just can't... But look, here's the fixtures coming up, right? Fulham away, West London derby. You know, you'd back Chelsea, would
no,
you?
No, would you?
I don't know if I would. That's why I said it so tentatively. I don't know. And then Burnley away. All right, well, we've just seen them put in a reasonable performance against Manchester United, but they do seem to be struggling. But then after that, Arsenal, Brentford, Spurs, and I think behind the Scout logo there is Man City.
So
if Chelsea don't get anything out of Fulham and Burnley, if that is not 6 points out of six...
It won't be.
Then they are, excuse my French, shafted.
I think Fulham will win that game.
Do you think?
Yeah. Because Fulham have already taken points from Arsenal.
Do you think?
Fulham. So Fulham have looked defensively better in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
They look all right defensively. They're not scoring any goals. But quite honestly, Chelsea don't score goals. They've got no Jackson now. Who is going to play up top for Chelsea next week?
Broglie, is he fit?
No. So who is going to play there?
Mudryk.
Can't play Mudryk there. He's not going. It can't be a number nine. Who's he putting in the number nine?
But here we are, right? You can't ask questions like who are they going to put in the number nine? They've spent £1 billion.
£1 billion
on players, and we're like, well, who are they playing up front?
So the problem that they've now got is they've got no one to play in the number nine because Nkunku's not there, bro. Isn't that got problems? So I'm looking at the Fulham defence and I'm thinking,
I want to invest. Tim Ream, get him in.
Tim Ream, Leno. I've got Leno in draft. Might play him next week.
Oh, my God.
Honestly,
oh my God.
It is... I cannot see how Chelsea score in that game.
I think...
That's 0-0. I reckon that game ends 0-0.
It could be.
Burnley the week after.
Yeah.
I honestly think if I'm Burnley, if I'm Vincent Kompany, Chelsea, I'm going to say to my team, look at the shambles that we've got to face. Yeah. We're organised. And they are.
All right. Well, listen, just as you bring your voice down an octave, from game week 9, it's hell. It's hell, isn't it? I mean, I know it's Arsenal at home, it's Brentford at home, but those are two very difficult teams. Then going away to Spurs, who wants to do that at the minute? I'm certainly not looking forward to it next week. And then Man City, I mean, goodness me.
So
he'd be gone by 12. So he'd be gone.
Do you think he'll make the Spurs game?
Depends what happens in 7 and 8. Depends on this Fulham. I think this Fulham and Burnley game are massive for him. Massive for Pochettino.
I noticed it's trending, isn't it? The Chelsea fans, they're trending.
Of course it is, because it's Chelsea fans. That's what they do. As soon as things start looking a bit bad, oh, manager, insert manager name here, out. Hashtag out. I hate to say I told you so, but from game week 1, I've said to you, Chelsea, Pochettino, be gone before Christmas. Been saying it for weeks. And now I'm not saying it anymore. It'd be gone before Halloween. Chelsea fans, is what they do.
I look at these fixtures, I look at the team.
They did!
And they're not okay. But I look at the next two. So Gusto is an easy sell because he's suspended. Jackson, easy sell because he's suspended. Chilwell, easy sell because we don't even think he's going to start. And when he doesn't start, he comes off and gets booked. So it's an easy sell. Sterling. If you have Raheem Sterling, what do you do? But he could play in the number nine. That's probably what he'll do. He'll put Sterling in the number nine.
Who's going to be around him? Who's he play right wing then?
Some kid.
£1 billion of players, Sam, and they haven't got an 11. Oliver's in the chat saying Chelsea are going to get relegated. It would not surprise me. The way they're playing
got an elite manager. They can't spend £1 billion and have an elite manager like Pochettino and get relegated. I'm sorry. This is... It beggars belief. That game probably... If Gusto doesn't get sent off, they maybe get a point out of that game.
Yeah. Anyway, let's not talk... That's enough on Chelsea. If you've got Chelsea assets, you sell.
All of them, Sterling included?
I would. 100% sell him. People are saying they'll play Cole Palmer. Yeah, they probably will, right? Whether right wing or forward right wing, probably. Put Sterling up top.
Probably. Palmer.
I don't know, probably. But, on the other hand... A good win for Aston Villa. And now the fixtures are starting to turn for Aston Villa. And now they come into this run where actually they are at the top of the ticker. Brighton at home, okay. Brighton are a very good side, not saying they're not. But they love a bit of XGC, Brighton. I can back Villa to score some goals. Then it's Wolves, West Ham, Luton, Forest and Fulham. Oh my God. All aboard. Unai Emery's... I was going to say train, but whatever. Boat. Whatever you associate with Unai Emery. I don't know. You've got no Aston Villa right now except for Diaby. Okay. Thinking of adding to Diaby?
Yeah, I would like Matt Cash in.
Mm.
Or I am giving serious contemplations after game week 7.
Yes.
To doing Onana to Martinez.
Don't mind it.
I don't really want Onana. But I prefer Onana's fixture in 7 to Martinez's.
Palace at home versus Brighton at home.
I think Brighton score.
Yeah, probably.
Whereas Palace, they've looked a little bit toothless.
Yeah.
So I think for me, I'll just hold Onana for this week and then I'll do it next week. But
thank you, Stephen Harker. The Emery Express, that was what I was looking for.
So, brilliant. I'm absolutely not opposed to trebling up on Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Diaby, I think, is fantastic. Pictures. Watkins obviously got the goal today. But so far this season hasn't looked potent in front of goal. He's been getting a lot of assists. I think he's had 4, but hadn't had a goal until game week 6, which is unusual for Watkins, to be fair.
Yeah.
But I think that's in part because of the system that they were playing. He's not really been used to having others around him, like Diaby being so close as he is at the moment. And obviously there's the John Duran factor. So all of that's kind of at play when you're considering Watkins. So for me, having Martinez in goal, because we know from seasons gone by that he's a good defender, goalkeeper rather. The clean sheets look likely in that run of fixtures that they have after the Brighton game.
Yeah.
And Martinez is good in the bonus point system. So he could be one that if they keep a clean sheet, that we see him climb the bonus points and he'll get save points as well. So I'm not opposed to having him and Matt Cash. I would really like to have Luca Dean, but the Moreno factor means I'll play it safe and go for Cash.
That is what... So Daniel Banks in the chat, thanks for the question, mate. He's saying, when is Moreno back? I think he's more or less ready. He might even been on the bench last couple of game weeks. So Luca Dean's actually been playing pretty good. Scored in Europe, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Quite recently.
And got the assist last week. He was my diff last week.
Didn't do anything this week except get booked. So maybe it's Moreno's turn to have a go. I cannot wait to see Moreno in this setup. I think he's going to be really, really good.
He was really good last season, wasn't he? When Emery took over, Moreno was really, really good.
But for now, because of them two on that side, do you sort of default to Cash because he hasn't got as much competition on that side, if any, I don't think.
Yeah.
And his underlying stats are still great, right? I picked him this week, got him in on my wild card. I'll take the 6-pointer for this week and I'm very happy to have him for the next few weeks. That was part of the reason for bringing him in. I think he's a class act.
Yeah, I do too.
Let's talk about what else we want to talk about. There's still loads to go through, isn't there?
Darwin, we've not spoken about Liverpool.
Well, yeah, it's not much I can say really because the game was on at the same time I was at the Emirates. I haven't seen anything other than some YouTube highlights for 2 minutes on my phone.
But what I will say is that I don't have any Liverpool at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't like not having any Liverpool.
We are scoring plenty of goals.
Because you're scoring plenty of goals.
Yeah.
I think for me, the thing that eventually twisted my arm with not selling Bruno for Salah this week was the fact that next week United still have a nicer fixture, whereas Spurs, you've got Spurs and you've got to come away to Spurs, yeah, which is not an easy place to go. And I was expecting...
Do you know what, though? I feel like Liverpool-Spurs has got goals.
Of course.
Whereas United... Is it United Palace?
Yeah.
Doesn't strike me as a goal fest. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Whereas if you were to get... So if you were to go Salah...
But also, I really want to own Darwin Nunes. Like, I really do. I honestly do. And
the chat agree with you, right? Dom Dewsbury's in. He's saying, I really, really, really want Darwin.
I do.
So why are we not going there? What's the issue? What's stopping us all?
I think it's you. I think because you always go, don't want Darwin. He's again not going to start or this, that and the other. And he has looked better.
He's looked decent. But today was classic Darwin, right? From what I've seen, he misses an absolute sitter.
Yeah.
And then he scores a nice volley. I mean, it's a classic Darwin game. And that's why.
And got a return in midweek. Got a pen in midweek.
He did.
Like, he's being consistent.
Yeah. Is he anywhere near the bonus, though? Let's look. Salah got the free. Virgil, McAllister, Paqueta. Oh, 23. So he's just outside the one bonus point. But I think if you get him, don't expect to get loads of bonus unless he gets a hat-trick. Because he misses so many chances.
But equally, when I'm looking at my team, like, and I'm thinking towards wildcard times at the moment,
yeah,
potentially, and I'm kind of, it's in the back of my head, I'm always doing the maths, and I'm like, right, Salah's going to cost me 12.5. By the way, I think he's going up tonight, so 12.6.
Mm.
I want to have all these other players that we're talking about, you know, Haaland, I want to have these expensive assets. That's going to mean some bigger compromises across the rest of my team. Now, I can have Darwin easy as my Liverpool investment,
and
I don't have to make any other compromises to my team. I can have Haaland and Alvarez and Darwin as my front three. And I can have a midfield
Alvarez, Darwin. I like that as a front three.
Yeah, and I can still have a midfield that's really valuable. I can keep Bruno Fernandes if I choose to. I can have a double up of Madison and Son. Because you can. I can have Diaby. Like, all of these other players fit. Whereas if you have Salah, you're pretty much guaranteeing someone in the Cameron Archer bracket.
Yeah.
And I... Touch wood. And not against Spurs next week. I think this is going to be a good season for Darwin Nunes. I think we will regularly see... Like, if he ends up being like Kane, one goal, one goal, one goal. No double-digit hauls, but I'm never captaining him anyway, so who cares?
But
one
7-5, goal every week, it's value, isn't it?
At that price, I really, really want him. I can't wait to own him. But I'm going to have to wait till past the Spurs game because I don't want to...
Jinx it.
Well, I just don't know. That game could be anything, couldn't it, next week? So I'm not getting involved in that.
Yeah, well, anyone in the chat that watched the Liverpool versus West Ham game, give us your opinion. I've got to watch the highlights tonight and Match of the Day too and see what the game was all about. For sure, you know, a lot of the talk's going to be on, you know, Darwin and Son and Madison and Salah, but I cannot wait. I think it's going to be that midfield battle because I'm a massive Szoboszlai fan already. I think he's absolutely settled in a treat. And McAllister is, you know, apart from having a bit of a bad game on the back of the international break, didn't he?
Got assist today, didn't he?
He got an assist. I think it was for Nunez's goal. Mm. Looks great so far this season. Curtis Jones, I thought, had a pretty good game as well from what I've read today.
For VAR?
Who?
Jones?
Don't know.
Don't know.
Haven't seen it. But anyway, the midfield three is starting to click from a Liverpool perspective. Then you look at Spurs and you go, well, Bissouma, the other lad that's in there, is it Sarr?
Pape Sarr.
Decent player. Like him a lot. And then you've got Madison in there as well. That is a battle. That midfield battle next week is going to be tasty. And it is going to be
the
tasty.
Evening kickoff as well.
And it's going to be, is it?
Yeah, 5:30. Oh.
That Spurs,
5:30 Saturday night after we've been on Sky.
That Spurs stadium at night.
It's going to be a cracker. It's not a fun place to come anymore.
No, I don't want to go there. I think it's the last thing we want is to go away to Spurs at night. It's a very, very difficult
game.
You're
not really welcome, so it's all right.
Okay, fine.
It'll be a fortress. We'll be singing. We're loving Big Ange instead.
Interestingly, a couple of stats that I did find on the members area in Fantasy Football Scout. And if you're not a member at Fantasy Football Scout yet, never too late to go and get involved over there. Links are in the description below. As you know, and I say it every week, we use a lot of the stats in the Fantasy Football Scout members area right here on the live stream. And to prove it, there we go. The podcasters can't see that, but I'm in the members area right now looking at all of the stats which are updated live. As soon as that game week is done, as soon as the final whistle goes, the Scout team are on it, and the members area is updated. And I noticed in chances created, top for this game week, along with Trippier, who was just bonkers because he's playing Sheffield United, Robbo. So Robbo's right up there with five chances created, and he was second in the game week on crosses as well, only second to Doty from Luton, interestingly, who had 14 crosses.
14
which
crosses?
Which is mental. I don't know where that's come from. But Robbo was second with what looks like 7 or 8 crosses. It's crazy, right? So Robbo, I don't know. I just wonder whether this run of fixtures that Liverpool have got, because Liverpool's fixtures are not too bad, you know. Obviously, Spurs away is difficult. Brighton away is difficult as well, but they are the XGC merchants. They don't mind conceding a goal.
Two away then against Europe in the middle, right?
Yes. Then it's the Merseyside derby. Then it's Forest. Then it's Luton. Then it's Brentford. Liverpool fixtures looking pretty good, and I don't think we're seeing in the back four the same way that we thought with Trent inverting.
No,
we're seeing more of the traditional when we won the league kind of Robbo bombing on. So Robbo, I'm not saying go out there and just buy him straight away, because I probably think Trippier is a better option right now in that bracket. But just, he's not very well owned, is he? Not many people got him, Robbo. I just think he's on radar for me. He's on radar. Yeah, he's on radar. Duncan Crawford is in the chat. He's saying, you missed my super chat. I'm sorry, mate. I think I did, actually.
Duncan,
I think I did.
You ignored Duncan.
I know. That is shocking, isn't it?
You're absolutely...
Oh, my God. It's a yellow one as well.
You're absolutely outrageous. Apologise.
Can you tap me on...
Apologise.
Duncan, I apologise profusely, mate. Profusely. That is bad. That's
Duncan
bad form.
Duncan has been around forever. He comes to Fest. He brings the snacks for everyone.
And you missed his super chat.
He came and brought me a peach iced tea, and you've not...
How dare you?
Absolutely. Duncan, I'll fire him after this live stream. Don't worry, Duncan.
That's Duncan. You've brought an end to my time at FPL Family. I appreciate it. But thank you for the super chat. I'm tired after watching the Grand Prix this one. Did you get up for that? Good effort. I got up at about 7 and caught the last few laps, and it looked like a bit of a procession from a Verstappen perspective. About 19 seconds ahead. Ridiculous, wasn't it? It was ridiculous.
Procession.
But fair play to... I'm not as good at Formula One as Duncan is. I was going to say the cars that are orange. What are they? The McLarens?
The cars that are...
The orange cars. They come second and third. I think Pellestri or... No, he plays for Man United. What's his name?
What is up with you?
I'm not into Formula One as much as I used to be.
Did you read the Super Chat?
But the McLarens did well, second and third. I think the guy that come third got his first podium, did very well. But it's not Pellestri. He plays for Man U. His old team got 70. His wildcard team got 75. But he's much happier with his squad, and he won't lose more squad value. Looking at you, João Pedro. Call it a success, question mark. I think you have to, Duncan, don't you? Call it, your old team got 70, your new team would have got 75. You call it a success. In a minute, we'll talk about my team and I'll tell you how much my old team would have got and what my wildcard got, and I'll tell you it's not
Duncan,
a success.
Duncan, did you not fancy a Zoom call to talk about your wildcard team?
Well, obviously not. No. Obviously not.
A bit upset about that.
Yeah, I've taken that a bit personally.
I've taken that to heart. Outrageous.
Oscar Piastri. Thank you, FPL Bauer. Oscar Piastri. Yeah, not the dude that plays right wing for Manchester United. Oscar Piastri. Thank you. And Lando Norris, of course. How can I forget Lando Norris? Sam, we're like an hour six already. This is getting ridiculous. Word on West Ham.
Next week, they've got Sheffield United.
and the way Sheffield United conceded from set pieces, it's
James Ward-Prowse.
Triple captain James Ward-Prowse at it next week. I mean,
get
you just
James
have Ward-Prowse to do it.
Or Jarrod Bowen. Just go for it.
That's just clicked in my head. Honestly.
If Sheffield United are still being managed by Higginbottom...
The way they defended from set pieces today, and I'm not saying Trippier didn't have a good game, because he did, but he didn't. It wasn't elite corner taking. It was just corner taking, and Sheffield United were unbelievably bad.
Yeah, but
James
actually,
James Ward-Prowse, I like that.
West Ham fixtures are nice. It's not just Sheffield United. So if you want to get, if you want to get a JWP, a Bowen, a Zuma, if you want to get
Newcastle, Villa, it's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, but if you want to get an Areola, because I don't hate it at all.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got me thinking about James Ward-Prowse, triple captain. Now I'm all over it. They were terrible today. Absolutely terrible.
Oh, you are a nightmare.
You've got JWP. Get that armband on him. Get the armband on him.
I wonder if he's still a differential. Can I have him as my differential of the week?
I would.
I don't know if he's...
100%.
He's got to be under 10% owned, doesn't he?
Got to be. Yeah, got to
That's
be.
That's the sort of player that Jules will pick, though. I've got to go a bit more out there.
Yeah. There's so much more that we could digest, Sam, but we just haven't got time. Our crap with Brentford, quickly.
What even happened?
They were just crap.
I kept Wisser because he had Everton.
Yeah.
And Everton suddenly can score 3 goals.
To be fair...
They missed Henry defensively.
No,
Rico Henry,
no, they did. They missed Ben Mee.
They missed Rico Henry.
Mm, I I think they missed both of them. Everton had a game plan. They stuck to it. Fair play. They got the win. But I'm telling you, Brentford allowed them to execute it. I watched that game. Brentford were absolutely tragic. I went into my wild card. I got Flecken and I got Mbeumo.
Ugh.
And I was just like 6 minutes in and bloody Doucouré scores. And
are
I'm
you
like,
going...
I can't be arsed watching this anymore.
Are you going to go Mbeumo to James Ward-Prowse?
Oh, 100%. Triple captain JWP against Sheffield United. Going to happen. Brentford were really bad. The one thing you can say about Brentford is that that will not be acceptable, right? You got the manager will be getting into them, right? What's the fixtures? Let's have a look at these fixtures of Brentford going forward.
They've got Nottingham Forest, I think, haven't they?
Nottingham Forest away, I think we'll get a reaction. Manchester United, who's got patchy form, if I'm being kind. Home to Burnley. Chelsea, who have got, you know, not going to have a manager by then. West Ham at home, and then Liverpool in 12. This is the run I got Mbeumo for. I don't...
James Ward-Prowse.
It's a bad week at the office for them against Everton this week.
James Ward-Prowse.
I don't know if it's going to happen again.
James Ward-Prowse.
It's going to get James Ward-Prowse. Oh, my God.
I'm going to tell Wissa.
Are you?
Yeah. I keep saying, how many weeks can I say? Yeah. I'll give you one more week because the fixtures are nice.
Yeah.
You're dead to me, Johan Wissa.
It was an interesting transfer in from the start. When you did it, I was like, what are you doing?
They returned in the first three. I bought him and he's not returned since.
Yeah. Well,
useless man.
And then, yeah, Sheffield United 0, Newcastle 8. Sheffield United, absolute guff. Terrible from set pieces. Gave up. Manager surely out the door. 8 different goal scorers for Newcastle. Has that ever happened before? I don't think it has.
No, I don't. It hasn't happened before. And also, they only needed one more and it would have been the highest in league history.
They were clinical, ruthless. I liked it from Newcastle. That's what we want to see.
Yes. But it wasn't the best performance by Newcastle I've ever watched.
No, it wasn't like elite.
They were all right.
Yeah. They played well, but you know.
It reminded me of the game last season where Newcastle played Spurs over Armistice Day weekend.
Yeah.
And they smashed us up. But they were all right. But we were so bad that they were able to do it. Yeah. And it was exactly the same today. Newcastle played all right. They weren't brilliant. They were just good. But Sheffield United was so bad that you look at that scoreline and go, well, Newcastle must have been absolutely peak. They were not at their best today. They could have played better than they did.
United was so bad.
For about 20 minutes, they took their foot off the gas and they were like, what's the point? Yeah.
Trippier, 67 underlying bonus. Bruno, 52. Gordon, 47.
Dan bloody
Byrne, 42. Sean Longstar, 40. And Botman, 40. So in the top 10 of the whole game week on BPS, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Newcastle players. Unbelievable.
One thing I would say, Harvey Barnes, that's really unlucky because he gets the injury, yes. Forces him off. Gordon comes on and he's great. But I think Harvey Barnes could have been a really nice differential over the next few weeks because he was getting the league games a bit like Callum Wilson.
Yeah.
So he could have been a really nice FPL differential for us and he's not going to be now that he's injured, which is a bit of a shame.
Wish him well. Wish him well, absolutely. Sam, before we talk about our teams and how my wild card got on, a quick shout out to Duncan and all of our other patrons that are in tonight.
Duncan's in.
I'm trying to claw it back, Duncan. I'm sorry. I'm trying to claw it back. But lots of our patron supporters in as usual. If you want a bit more of Sam and I in your lives, patreon.com/FPL family is the way to go. If you want bonus podcasts on a Friday where we preview the game week, if you'd like to take part in our Manager of the Month competition and win prizes like replica shirts and all that sort of stuff. If you want one-to-one Zooms with Sam and I, you've got your wild card coming up. Maybe you'd like Sam's advice on who to pick and what to do. Then all of that is available at patreon.com/FPL family. All the links are in the description below. And a quick shout out to Tracy, who is currently top of our Manager of the Month. This does not include Game Week 6's points because I haven't had time to update the leagues yet. But at the end of Game Week 5, it was Tracy out front with 147 points for the month. David in with 143 for the month and Tony in with 137 for the month. Neither you nor I were anywhere near that because our game week fives were that bad, we didn't even trouble Tracy, David and Tony.
Game week five doesn't exist.
Game week five, we've ignored it. We are all about game week six, Sam. Tell us how it went because for you, it was very, very good.
Yeah, so let's just ignore Wissa and Alvarez. Everybody else
good, right?
Smashed it. So I, on Saturday morning, quite late, while you were football training with Max, decided to play Kabore, play the fixture, play Kabore over Saliba, move Saliba to the bench.
Yeah.
which worked a treat, because I did think that Arsenal would concede to Spurs. And then I was thinking, well, Saliba's not exactly hugely attacking, so probably not likely to get an attack in return, put him on the bench. But yeah, Onana with the clean sheet, that was nice. Picked up a save point as well. Botman, I'm obviously pleased with. I could have afforded Trippier.
Okay.
However, I've still
Botman's
got
a sensor.
I've still got still money in the move. Bank, but I still think still Botman's sensible because I look at the potential for Trippier to get some rotation of minutes because they do have Livramento now that can play in that spot. Whereas Botman, they don't really have another replacement, not a straight replacement for Botman.
Yeah.
And I know the world went into meltdown yesterday after the deadline when it was like, oh, Botman's not on the coach. Just transpired. He's taking his girlfriend's keys. She couldn't get in the house. He had to drive home.
Yeah, that, yeah.
Brilliant.
How to freak out the whole of the FPL community. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
He had to drive himself to Sheffield United. Hilarious. I loved it. Estupiñán picking up an assist, even though we lost the clean sheet, which was great.
That's what he's going to do. That's with Estupiñán. He's going to get them assists.
And, you know, if you're Matomaro now, the wave of emotion that must have gone through everyone on the bench comes on, gets a brace to win in the game, ideal. And then the midfield four doing incredibly well. Obviously, Madison, Foden, Saka and Bruno Fernandes all playing really well.
Looks like this screenshot was taken before some of the bonus points were added in the app as well, because Madders, I think, ended up on 10, maybe. Couple of bonus.
I think he got one bonus. I think he ended up on 9.
Yeah.
And then obviously Haaland got the goal, so was fine. I never really considered captaining anyone else, so it is. The only thing that I am slightly irritated with myself for is the decision to bring in Alvarez a week early play Diaby.
Who did you transfer out?
No, I'm not annoyed at the transfer. I'm annoyed because it's cost me a couple, and it could have been worse because Diaby could easily have gone mad in that game against Chelsea. I'm just more annoyed that I made that decision and that meant I had to bench Diaby. But
so what are you mad about? The fact you didn't get 2 extra points and you've got a game week score of 88?
Yeah, because...
Get out. But 88.
But at the moment... God,
so annoying.
Those 2 points would have made a massive difference in overall rank, so...
Excuse me while I roll my eyes.
I'm a little bit annoyed with myself for that, because it never works. I know I shouldn't make transfers on deadline day. It never works, but...
He's a top player. He's a good FPL.
I'm happy to have him going forward. I just wish I'd have done it next week instead. But having said all of that, it has brought my overall rank right back down again, so it's halved that, which is really nice. It's put me in a position now where going into this week where I've got a lot of content to do, nice place where things have gone well. So I can go into that feeling
good.
Positive. So that's good.
Nice. A game week score of 88, an overall rank of 359k, up 59.3%. But you're really upset about the 2 points you had on the bench from Diaby. Give up with you sometimes. This is my team, 75 points on the wild card. Overall rank up to 1.2, bit of a green arrow, which is nice. Listen, it was a roller coaster of emotions. I can tell you, Saturday was one of the worst days I've had in FPL ever.
Mm.
It was absolutely awful. So I took out Onana, I took out Bruno Fernandes, I took out Phil Foden, I took out Ruben Dias, all of which came in, right? So that was great. And the players that came in for me were like Flecken, Cash, Alvarez, Mbeumo. I couldn't believe the Brighton thing, Brentford one. That was the one, right? I've gone Flecken and Mbeumo because they've got really nice fixtures coming up, starting with Everton at home, who haven't won all season, and Brentford at home, who look good. And they just come out, and the first 5 minutes, I could tell, they ain't going to win this. They don't look up for it. And then 6 minutes in, Decore scores, and I've lost all interest in the game. Saturday was awful, absolutely awful. It started with the Foden goal. I was like, I've taken him out. Then I had to go to the pub with my mates who are all Man United fans and watch that performance. And none of them were like buzzing about it because it wasn't a brilliant performance from Man United. But I'm sitting there thinking, that's the worst result that could have happened. An Onana clean sheet and a Bruno goal on bonus points. It could not have been any worse for me on wildcard. So Saturday, I was sitting on about, I don't know, square root of naff all points. I was on about 10 points. Absolute shite. And my game week, and my overall rank was down at like, I was like 3 million or something ridiculous. Anyway, to the rescue, this today comes Mo Salah, who I think actually got 10. I think he got 3 bonus points.
He did.
Comes Saka, comes Madison to the rescue, comes Botman to the rescue, comes Cash to the rescue. So I'm happy then. Estupiñán, all good. So actually, yesterday, terrible. today better. And then just to finish off the roller coaster of emotions, Dan Bloody Byrne sitting first sub on my bench with 12 points, which is absolutely unreal.
Why did you not play Dan Byrne?
Because I fancied Matt Cash and I fancied Aston Villa to beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, which they did. So I can't go against that. Look, I absolutely fancied Newcastle to get a clean sheet, but I didn't think Dan Byrne would get a goal in an 8-0 win.
No one did.
I don't think anyone saw that coming. Whereas with Matty Cash, I could see that being a clean sheet for them, yeah. And I thought he might get something.
No, I guess I was more thinking...
Who would I have dropped as well?
Well, it would have probably had to have been either... Well, you can't bench Mbeumo against Everton. The conversation would have been Diaby and Chelsea, I guess.
But I fancied Villa so heavily for that game, I understand it.
Also, if it makes you feel better, I was talking to Gianni earlier. Have you spoken to Gianni today?
He's had an amazing game week, Gianni. Yeah. Amazing.
So at the end of the day on Saturday, was at 2.2 million.
Yeah.
By the end of the day today, it's 120k.
Unreal.
Because he's had the players that have returned...
Today.
You know, today. Yeah. So I think it is a lesson to everybody about... Particularly in a game week like today, where it was literally half the fixtures in one day and half the fixtures in another.
Yeah.
I didn't look at my overall rank at all yesterday.
No.
Because I was like, we've got 5 games today and then 5 tomorrow. I can't... So much could change. Even after the Onana and Bruno performances last night, I still didn't look because I was like, I'm having a good week. But so much will change. Yeah. So much will change. I knew it would be green. I didn't know how green, but it was pointless because I knew that today would cost me rank because I didn't have a lot of the players that, like, I didn't have any Liverpool.
Yeah.
So.
But listen, the comment was made before about, you know, being set with the wildcard and stuff. And I do feel that. I've got Mo in place now. I've got my 2 Aston Villa. If anything, I might go for 3 Villa. I think their run is that good. I've got my 2 Newcastle defenders are in there. I've now got...
You've got a bench now.
But I've got my eye on Mbeumo now, haven't I? Now that after that performance,
AWP.
I do want to see... Part of the reason I played the wild card as I did is that I can go into... And I looked at my team for game week 7 thinking, I don't need to make a transfer. And I don't. I set my bus team. It looks fine. Unless I've got some injuries, I'm going to keep it as is. But I do want to see a reaction from Brentford. I do want to see something from them because that was a really, really inept performance. But outside of that... The team looks all right, as it should, because it's just been wildcarded. Rajesh, thank you for the super chat. Thank you, mate. Hi, Sam and Lee. Hey, Rajesh. Thank you for creating such a lovely community. Oh, Rajesh, thank you. It's very kind of you to say that. The Slack chat, because Rajesh is one of our Patreon supporters, of course. Our Slack chat is the second best thing about FPL. The Zoom chats with Sam are still the best thing about FPL. Sorry, Lee. I am hashtag Team Sam.
Rajesh and I have a couple of Zooms every year. I love talking to Rajesh. Honestly, Raj and I, we have a lovely chat every time. It's always nice. And I actually, guys, today I spent a lot of time in the Slack with the guys. They were also helping my stress levels. Although, yeah. Although I have to be honest, when Arsenal scored their first goal, I muted them. Because I was like, Matt is going to do my head in. Because there's so many Arsenal fans in there. I was like... Mute. I've got to take 10 minutes to calm down before I go in there and say anything.
And then Sun scores.
Then Sun
like,
scored.
Mute.
And I was like, I'm back.
Unbelievable.
But I just needed, a minute because I was like, the Arsenal fans are going to be in there in force and I can't listen to them while I'm feeling angry.
Yeah.
I need to calm down and then I'll go back and speak. But yeah, it was lovely. And I must admit, I'm in a draft league with Rajesh as well. And it's, the Slack. The Slack is brilliant. We were talking about Zoom chats in there today. They're great fun. If you want to have Zoom chats, you can come and sign up on our Patreons.
There we go. And probably my favourite comment of the night from Babani Sanka. Thank you, Babani, for the chat comment. Sam and Lee are poles apart when it comes to FPL. Sam is sitting there crying over 2 extra points on the bench, whereas Lee got burn and is completely normal about it. There it is. That's why Sam wins every year and I don't, because you worry about things like, oh, I've benched... 2 points
is big at this point.
I can't believe I benched Diaby and missed out on them 2 points. I've got Dan Byrne sitting there with 12 points. Look at him. And then Kabore with 5, for Christ's sake. Oh, unbelievable. Cyberdet's in the chat saying, JWP triple captain sounds promising. I've given him ideas now. Cy will do it. I'm absolutely convinced.
Cy took up first big hit of the season this week. Cy did.
What did he do?
He took a minus 20.
Oh my God.
Is it minus 20, sorry? So I took a minus, I don't know. I think it might have been a minus 20. It could have been a minus 24. He got 100 and something points though. So it worked out that he got like, I don't know, 80 something. So he did well.
Sire, please, triple captain James Ward-Prowse next
I
week.
I think you
it
should.
Would be, I might bring him in, but I ain't triple captain.
You should definitely sell him Bravo for James Ward-Prowse.
Sam, tell the folks what is coming up this week. I'm doing the Off the Bench podcast tomorrow, aren't I?
This week he's going to get busy.
Busy.
So, yeah. So tomorrow, Lee and if
Harry,
he's in,
right?
I don't know if he's in tonight, but FPL Harry.
He'll be buzzing about Chelsea.
Well, look, he...
Oh, dear, I love giving him grief about Chelsea.
Don't be horrible to Harry tomorrow. I'll be there to supervise.
I won't be horrible to Harry, but I can't be held accountable for my Pochettino rants.
Wow. So Lee and Harry, in some sort of weird combination, will be on off the bench this week. So you're recording that tomorrow. That'll
nice.
Be out tomorrow
Looking
afternoon.
Forward to that.
You'll be able to catch me, as always, on the official pod on Thursday
always.
This week with Jules and the lovely Kelly Summers. And then on Friday this week, I'm doing the fantasy show, so you'll be able to catch me on that.
Oh, nice.
That will be available on the app, as well as on TNT and on Sky on Saturday, on Friday evening.
Yes.
And then you'll be able to catch both Lee and I on Sky Sports News on
You're
Saturday
a busy
morning.
Bee this week.
I might sleep at some point this week,
yeah.
Or else I might not sleep and just power
As well
through
as all the
week.
Usual scout stuff going on.
As
I
well
suspect.
As the usual scout stuff, yeah. Obviously, scout squad and all of that malarkey coming up as well this week.
Nice.
So yeah, it will be. Oh, and of course the Q&A with Az on Friday afternoon. Don't forget about the Q&A with Az. Notice that this week he told you all to do all the wrong things, and if we can remember that Az laughed at Dan Burn as an option. Laughed.
Did he? Did he?
Said, why is everyone getting Dan Burn? I told everyone to sell Chilwell. Az was adamant that Chilwell was going to start this week. I'm just
How's
saying
How's this season
Az.
Going? I've seen him being a little bit down in the dumps on Twitter. Is he all right? Does he need a hug?
I love him.
Is he all right?
No,
though?
He's fine.
Is his rank okay? Or is he
Yeah,
like...
because it was only after last week when he sold Richarlison and Richarlison braced.
Az, mate.
And then I decided to wind him up.
Oh, mate.
I love him. I absolutely love that man. He's
so
a legend.
Good.
But yeah, busy week this week. Very, very busy. And of course, we will have our Ohana podcast for our patrons. That will be out on Friday morning, as always.
Nice one. All right. Well, there we go, guys. Thank you for joining us here on FPL Family this evening. It's great to be back after a couple of weeks out. We'll be back, as usual, this time, 8:30 next Sunday, when we'll be looking back at game week 7 and how that's gone.
We might.
What do you mean, we might?
Well.
Oh, God. What's happening?
It's the FPL Family Derby, so
yeah.
There's a chance
wow.
that I might kill you.
Big stream. That's going to get flagged by YouTube.
Nah.
Like the YouTube authorities will be all over that now. I'll be getting phone calls. Is your wife all right? Because are you in danger? Like you...
I'll throw you out. If Liverpool were... I'll be fine because Spurs are going to beat you anyway. So.
Oh. Goodness me. It's going to be a good game. It's going
to
be a good
Son
game.
Son and Madison to destroy Van Dijk's career.
That's not where the game is going to be won and lost. The game, as I've already said to you, the game is going to be won and lost in the midfield with Bissouma against Szoboszlai, against Madison, against McAllister. It is going to be a cracker. I think it's going to be a cracker.
But no, we will, in all seriousness, we will be back on Sunday. But we just might not talk about the Liverpool and Spurs game.
So we'll be back next Sunday talking about all the games as well as the FPL Family Derby and how that's gone.
No, we're not talking about
that. Look out for us throughout the week on all that stuff that Sam mentioned. Leave us a like before you go and we'll see you next week. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.